A wife gave me this mint. It's too big. I have to swallow it. Hallelujah. There we go. Hallelujah. Good to see you all. And some familiar faces, and some maybe we don't know, but we are glad to be here. Pastor Bill and I have been walking through some stuff here in the last couple of years, and it's uncanny some of the similar things we've been through. Devil doesn't like us, but we're still alive, yes. Still kicking the devil in the face, amen? Amen. And I believe I got a word for you today. It'll be a blessing to you. I did bring some books. I'm an author now. During COVID, things slowed down ministry-wise, so we wrote some books, and they're back there on that table back there, an offering of any size. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. One was on dealing with the church and where I believe God's taking the church. That's called Moving Unto Perfection. The other one is Go and Sin No More. It's about marriage, remarriage, and divorce, a grace view of it. There's a lot of traditional legalistic ideas about it, but if you've been through that road, it would help. Or you know someone else that's been down that road and minister grace to them. And then one on healing, insights to healing. And I had to read my own book over again. Hallelujah. Yep. But God's word is true. Amen. Yep. And I have my wife with us this morning. And we almost didn't allow enough time to get here. We were rushing. And I was poking along. She says I drive like an old man anyhow. Well, I am 71 now. Today's my birthday. Donna's birthday today. And anybody else have a birthday today? Yeah. We won't ask Donna how old she is. Somebody will tell me. 69? Okay. You don't look a day over 69. Good gracious. Hallelujah. Well, I trust you have your word, the Bible with you this morning. Help me carry the... I use the iPad now. It's easier to find my chapters and verses. In fact, the church bought me a new one here because my other one was one of the first one that came out. It would be so slow. So I'll be right with you today. Hallelujah. God's good all the time. 1 Peter chapter 5. You go there with me. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we talk to you today about not giving up. You know, anybody can quit. Can I hear an amen?
That's right.
But God has called us to be constant, to be the same, to be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable. Amen. And sometimes that's hard to maintain that in the midst of tests and trials. Here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that it will take root in our hearts today. It will cause us to become what you declared us to be, your righteousness, and to be able to stand even in an evil day. And we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, from this passage, we see that we have an adversary. How many realize that you have a devil that's after you, that doesn't like you? He'd just soon send you off to heaven early. Can I hear an amen? But he has to seek whom he may devour. That gives me some hope. Hallelujah. He cannot just devour at will. In fact, Isaiah 54:17 says, anybody know what it says? "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Amen. They're formed. The weapons are formed. The tests and trials are formed against us, but they don't need to succeed in our lives. So he has to seek whom he may devour. In fact, that word devour means that it's like a picture of a lion slurping up the blood of the animal he just killed. The devil wants to slurp you up. But we can resist him steadfast in the faith. Amen. Aren't you glad for faith?
Amen.
You're allowed to say amen in this church. And if you don't, I'll say it for you. But we are to resist the devil, and he'll what? Flee from us. In fact, that word resist gives us a picture of the word fleeing there, to run as in terror, the Greek says. And we know how to put on this whole armor of God. And that's why we come to church. Can you hear an amen? We come here to be equipped to fight the good fight of faith. A good fight's one you win. Amen? I'm not much of a fighter, but if you push me in the corner, I'm coming back out fighting. I remember in high school, the big guy in class, he flunked us several years. He was bigger than all of us, but he was always picking on us. And one day he pushed me, and I had enough. I came out swinging. After that, he was my best friend. Amen. You got to resist the devil. You can't just give in to his punches, so to speak. And we have faith. And how does faith come? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God that's preached. And the word that comes out of your mouth as you confess the word of God. Amen. The word there is the word rhema in the Greek. It means the word that is spoken. Whether you hear me speak it or yourself speak it, you need to hear the word. Amen. I was raised in a church where, a Pentecostal church, where the message was, you got to have faith, you got to have faith. But they never told us how to get it. Then one day someone gave me Kenneth Hagin's books, all his little books he had years ago. And I started reading these books, and man, faith came. Hallelujah. And you know, I still have to be reminded of it. You know, faith doesn't just come, and you got to keep it active. You got to refresh yourself in the message of faith. And one of my assignments when I left Rhema years ago was to teach the body of Christ faith. He said, come back to central Pennsylvania and teach my body faith. So I've been doing that for over 40 some years. And I have to live by what I preach. Can I hear an amen? But it works. The word of God works. Hallelujah. Again, we do have tests and trials. They're designed by the devil to wear us out so that we will quit. But I'm not a quitter. I remember my mom. How many remember 8mm movies? Some of you, what's that? Back when I was a kid, that's what they had, 8mm movies. And I was building a snowman one time outside my mother's kitchen window. And I didn't realize she had the camera. She's filming me making a snowman. And the head kept falling off. And I would not quit. I kept picking that up, setting it back on, and boom. And finally it stayed. You can't quit. Amen. You got to have that determination. So I've always had a determination with me. I'm not a quitter. I'm not going to quit on God. I'm going to continue to trust in His Word. In fact, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures here today that will help you and when you're making your stand. And if you haven't had the opportunity, you will. In fact, you go to a church like this one where they preach the Word. Satan comes for the Word, doesn't he? He comes to test you. But you know, tests are not hard when you know the answers. You know, I remember back in school, everybody would be freaking out because they're having a test. I said, well, you know, just study. You know, what's hard about tests when you know the answers? Well, read your book. You got it in your hand. Amen. God gave us the answers to all our tests. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, thou therefore, Paul writing this to Timothy, a young pastor. In fact, he probably had one of the largest churches of that particular day. And you know, when you have a large church, you have large problems. Amen. You have just people are people. And Timothy had to deal with these things. And because of his youth, many times, people were not giving him the respect that was due him. So Paul writes to him and says this, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, we need to be strong in what God has provided for us through His grace. Grace is God's operational power He's released towards us that'll save us, make us go to heaven someday. That same grace will prosper you. There's a whole couple chapters in the book of Corinthians about the grace of prosperity. And there's the grace for healing in our life. Aren't you glad we were healed by the stripes of Jesus? Yes. That we're not trying to get healed. We're just receiving what's already been provided for us. And Paul said, be strong in that grace. There's not a day that goes by in my life that I don't get up and I say, Father, I thank you that I have grace today to meet whatever challenges I'm going to face. And I've had some dillies. Like I said, within the last year, I had some bad proclamations by medical science. You know what I mean? You know, stage stuff. You know, like fifth stage stuff. Well, I said, I get off the stagecoach. Hallelujah. I'm not going on that route. Hallelujah. But it's only because of the grace that I've received in my life. The grace of divine healing and health and strength. And I proclaim that over my body every day. That I am the healed. From the top of my head to the soles of my toes. Amen. I walk in divine health. I release that grace into my life. And Paul said to Timothy, be strong in that kind of grace. It'll get you through life. You need grace for everything nowadays. Amen. Everything. Just read the news or listen to the 6:30 news at night. And you'll need grace. Because a lot of negativity coming at us. Amen. But thank God we can be strong in the grace. In fact, that word strength there, or strong, is where we get... in the Greek, we get the word dynamite from that word. We have this dynamite power within us that'll put us over in life, even though the adversary is tempting us, putting us through hell, we might say. We can come out on the end, like Paul said, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph. Amen. Not just sometimes, but I'm always going to triumph. I preached a message on this a couple of years ago. Barb went out and got a little plaque. It says, always on it. I'm always winning. It may not look like I'm winning at certain times, but I've already won. Because I'm tapping into the grace. I'm strong in His grace. Amen? And in fact, that's where you're going to find peace and everything else that you're looking for in life. Through this grace that God has provided for us. In fact, Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So again, we can be strong. Now go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Here's a story of a man named Abraham. We've all heard of him. If you haven't heard of Abraham, I don't know what church you're going to. But he's called the father of our faith. He said it, he set the example for us. How's that? And let's start in verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That was a promise from God. Amen. Before him, whom we believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calls those things that be not, which as though they were. You know, we got to do the same thing. You got to call those things which don't seem to appear as though they are. That's how God uses his faith. In verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. In other words, there was an impossibility in his life. He was very old, and his wife was very old. And for them to have children was an impossibility. But he took the promise that God gave to him, and he stood on it, and it manifests. And he says that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith. You know you can be weak in faith. One of the ways you become weak in faith is not hearing the word. Again, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing. If you look, you know, I have a doctorate degree, so I know a little bit about Greek and Hebrew. I know a little Greek. They have a restaurant up in Carlisle. That's a joke. But I do know this. I have a Strong's Concordance. Can I hear an amen? And you say the word. Hearing there, it's continual hearing. You don't hear it once and you got it. This past year, man, I've soaked myself in the word of faith for healing. There's some great ministers of God out there. Keith Moore, for example, you can get on YouTube. 30 reasons why we were healed by the stripes of Jesus. 30 Bible reasons. I mean, if you listen to that, think, how would you preach anything else but that? Amen. Who's the other? Andrew Womack. They have a healing school every. Someone gave us those series. man, good stuff that we've been soaking ourselves into, and it's changed my symptoms. How's that?
That works.
And the doctors do not know how to handle me, because I should be dead by now. But I'm going the other way. I'm going towards life. Not because I'm something special, because I believe what was spoken unto me. Amen. By His stripes, I'm healed. And God's no respecter of persons. It's for whosoever. Amen. Well, Abraham, he says, and be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You can have weak faith or you can have strong faith. Amen. You can have little faith. Jesus talked about little faith. You can have great faith. I want to have strong faith. And the way he had strong faith was by giving glory to God. In other words, he was a praiser. He was a worshiper. He thanked God ahead of time. Anybody can thank God when they see the manifestation. That's not faith. Faith is when you have symptoms just screaming at you and you're giving, Father, I just thank you.
Yes.
I do not believe this is happening. I believe your word is true over what is happening in my body or whatever they're saying about you. Amen? That's faith. I want a strong faith. And it says in verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You got to come to a place you're fully persuaded. And that doesn't come overnight. Amen? And I would suggest to you, do not try to build a house during the storm. Most people try to do that when they get the doctor's report or whatever. And now they're serious. All of a sudden you see them in church, you know. And I'm not telling you not to do that. But, you know, I've not seen too many people succeed in that realm because they didn't have a foundation. You got to build your foundation when it's nice. I was in contracting for many years. We didn't work when it rained. Amen. When you're feeling good, get into the Word. Meditate on the Word. Confess the Word. Speak the Word. Listen to the Word. Get that established in you where you're fully persuaded. So when the storm does arise, when the winds start blowing, it won't blow your house over. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, I know you understand this stuff. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 4:13, go to this verse with me. 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. In other words, that's how we get our faith, find out what was written. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. You want to tell if you have strong faith or weak faith, listen to what you're saying. Because you do say what you believe. Amen. I can be with someone within 20 minutes. I can see where I can hear where their faith is, what they believe in. I'm not here to bring condemnation to anybody. We're all growing in this thing. But you need to watch what you say. The best way to say the right things is to fill your heart with the Word. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Are you with me? So whatever in there, especially under pressure, you find, you know, it's just sometime, you know, I was in construction many years. If I hit my hand with a hammer, you know, what's coming out of my mouth? I used to say, Buddha. There's ways around it. Can I hear an amen? Hebrews chapter 10. You got to speak the word. Amen. Hebrews 10:36. It says this, for ye have need of patience. Oh man, I don't like to hear that subject about that. But you have need of it. That after, say after, you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So we do the word, and we now need patience to keep us constant, to keep us the same, to keep us unmovable, unshakable, abounding in the work of the Lord. And there's nothing wrong for, I confess this as well. I am patient today. Because part of the grace of God towards my life is that I have His patience as part of the fruit of the Spirit inside of me. And so I am patient. I'm long-suffering. Long-suffering. Amen? You know, patient, there's a two kind in the Greek, there's a word for patience dealing with circumstances. There's another word that deals with people. Long-suffering. Patience, that kind of patience. And all that's in us, and we can tap into it with our faith because of the grace. We can be strong in that. And we can be very patient with people and circumstances. Then God's will be performed in our life. Amen. 2 Peter 1, 2. Just giving you a bunch of verses here today to refresher course. How's that? Paul writing this, Peter writing this, 2 Peter, starting verse 2. He says this, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." How do you get grace and peace? Knowledge. Knowing something. Amen? I wish I could just lay my hands on you and you'd have peace. And you'd have grace, but it doesn't work that way. You've got to know. Faith comes by hearing. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Not knowing what God has said, what is written. You go to most churches, they don't even open their Bibles anymore. We need to know what is written. Amen. That's how grace and peace will be multiplied. In verse 3, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." That's our natural life there. And our spiritual life. "Through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So it's the word again that allows me to escape the hell many times that most people go through. Amen. It doesn't beat me up. It doesn't defeat me. Amen. Back to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. I should have read that earlier, but it's in the context where we just were. He says, "Let us hold the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise." So again, we can't be wavering. We can't be saying one thing one day and another thing the next day. We got to hold fast to what we believe God's Word says. Amen. In fact, that's the fight of faith. People are fighting devils and everything else all the time. I don't fight the devil. I just fight the good fight of faith. I speak the word. It's called the sword of the Spirit. I mean, I'm no match for the devil in that sense. Amen. But he's no match for the word. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's not my spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And I have a shield of faith that'll quench. How many darts? All the darts of the wicked. Amen. The fiery darts. One time I was preaching, I said I said it backwards, and the diary farts, I think it came out. I said, that ain't right. You know, the devil's constantly throwing, you know, basically they are words that are coming at you, that are coming against you through thoughts and imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You got to cast them down. You got to replace those thoughts with God's thoughts and His words. That's the warfare we're involved with. Again, we can't waver. Amen. Paul writing to Timothy in 6:12. Go there with me. 6:12. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So again, we have to hold fast to our profession, or our same Greek word, confession. I trust you. You have confessions. Years ago, we in the faith movement, we put out these sheets, these confession sheets. Do you still do that? We have them in our Barb has every on our kitchen table there. We have confession sheets of who we are in Christ. I got to speak that because I got to hear it. I got to be reminded of that. Amen. Because I'm getting so much stuff that's opposite of that coming at me all the time. Through media, through whatever. Be careful who you hang around too. How about it? Amen. But we have to hold fast. And that, you say that word, hold fast there, lay hold on eternal life. It's a picture of someone holding something down and not letting it move. I'm not letting my confession be moved. I've said it. I've drawn the line. How's that? This is what I believe. Come hell or high water, God watches over his word to perform it. I heard that mentioned already this morning in prayer. He does. And to hasten it, to bring it to pass. Amen. It sounds like Mark 11, 22 and 23. If you don't what? Doubt in your heart. But believe those things you say, it shall what? Come to pass. You can't waver. You can't be going back and forth. I remember years ago when we, our church there, it's called Word Fellowship in Harrisburg, now Life Center in Harrisburg. And we were out to buy some property across the street. It was a woods, probably since creation, I don't know. And all of a sudden when we wanted to buy it, seemed like everybody in the city wanted it. We needed it for parking. And I remember talking to my associates at that time. I said, Pastor Bruce, I said, all this negativity came towards us, like, you can't buy this. Everybody else, you're not going to be underbid. I said, we will hold fast. We've already walked around and we believe it's God's will for us to have that. You know, you need to find out his will first. Amen. And so I said, whatever you do, do not say anything negative to what we have already said. That's our property. And today it's a parking lot. Hallelujah. But you know, the devil fought us. So we later on, back in 2000, we built this other church called Word of Grace outside of Harrisburg. I was sort of hesitant to, you know, it's a fight of faith many times where you get tired of fighting. You don't want to hold fast your confession. And but the Lord gave me a word for this church. He said it would be easy. And someone gave me one of those little buttons you push. Staples had that commercial, remember that? And I set that on my desk and I click. It's easy. Hallelujah. And I just held on to that. You know, you can hold on. You can do warfare by your prophecies that come unto you. Amen. I held on to that word and the whole thing was easy. We built a church, just paid it off here a couple of months ago. Hallelujah. $2 million. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen. And it was easy. We never had to beg for money. Hallelujah. Money kept coming in and paid it off. And the new pastor there, he's happy you don't have a mortgage. Hallelujah. God does take care of us. Amen. But again, the devil doesn't like you winning. Abraham had to overcome some obstacles in his life to see the fulfillment of the promise. But it came to pass. I like that in the Bible. I read it, and it came to pass. It always comes to pass. Hallelujah. But you have to hold fast. You've got to hold on tightly. Let me give you that definition when it talks about hold fast. It speaks of something that's heavy or downward to the point of subjugation. Taking something by holding tight to make sure it's one's own. You got to make these promises yours. How's that? Not letting go of the promises. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. You ever read those two chapters? Sure you have. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and 1. I want to read something to you here. Each one of us has come to something in our life. We all have the will of God we got to see fulfilled. Here in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, it says, now faith is the substance of things what? Hope for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, I used to always thought this verse was talking about God creating the earth and stars and galaxies. But that's not the word there for the word worlds in the word Greek. It's talking about the time period or ages. God spoke the ages into existence before they ever came into pass. And in these ages, there's different men and women listed in chapter 11 that in their time, God gave them a word and they believed that word and held to it and it came to pass in their time. And some didn't even get it, he says in the later part of chapter 11. But are you with me? But they got it and they got to heaven. Amen. Well, their generations after them, it was fulfilled. So don't give up. Amen. Each one of us has had a word in our time that we're living here. And we need to hang. If you have a word for direction in your life, don't give up on it. Stand on it. By faith, it says. By faith. And these all, everyone listed in Hebrews chapter 11 has something in common. They all sort of missed it once or twice. You know, when it talks about Abraham, did he waver not as the promise of God? He did waver a little bit. But in the New Testament, where grace and mercy are, God don't even put that in that about his history. You have to go back to the Old Testament to read that. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? God forgets our sins and casts them in the sea of forgetfulness, drives them away as far as the east from the west. I'm glad he didn't say north or south. There's a north pole and south pole, no east pole and west pole. They're gone. Amen. And so in chapter 12, quickly go to chapter 12. After he talks about this, he says, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let me just say this about the sin which does so easily beset us. I believe it's the sin of discouragement. That's the sin that defeats many of us. We get discouraged, we get weary in well-doing, and we faint. And that doesn't give God pleasure. But we're to look unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions and sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Again, you can become wearied or faint in your minds if you're not dealing with your thoughts, if you're not building your faith, if you're not hearing the word, if you're listening to everybody else's whatever. They mean well. You know, it's amazing when I remember years ago when I had some kind of attack in my liver, and I had a physical. We were in a building program, and they wanted to make sure I was healthy before they give us a loan, whatever. And they said I had some kind of liver disease. I thought, oh man, I don't need liver disease. And so I told the doctor, I said, give me 3 weeks and then retest me. So I came home from that diagnosis, and I'll tell you what, I'm watching news that night or TV. Everything's on every advertisement is about someone had liver disease. You talk about the devil, he sets you up, man. Every commercial was about liver disease, some drug you needed. I'm at the restaurant the next morning having breakfast with some guy. The couple behind us are talking about someone that just died with liver disease. See, and I had to do some things with my thoughts. Can I hear an amen? I already told the doctor, give me 3 weeks. I remember walking out to my car and said, all right, Father, your word says, I believe when I pray that I receive. It was 11 o'clock, and I said, Father, at 11 o'clock, I'm receiving what Jesus did for me. My liver is healed. I don't care what the diagnosis is. My prognosis is this, that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I'm back 3 weeks later, and the disease went away. Thank God for that.
Yes.
Are you with me? But, you know, I resisted steadfast in the faith, but how the devil played with my mind there for a while. And he'll do that to you. But Jesus, see, I got to look unto Jesus. You know, in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were sinning there, one of the times they were sinning in the wilderness, and judgment came on them, and God told Moses to take a serpent, put it on the pole. Remember that? And as long as they looked unto that serpent on the pole, the snakes that were biting the people would not kill them. And if you look up that word looked, it doesn't mean just, oh, I looked. No, they had to stare at it. They had to gaze upon it. You have to gaze upon what Jesus has done for you when the devil's trying to bite you like a snake. Amen. You got to constantly be looking at what he's did for us. And that's what communion is all about. Putting yourself in remembrance of that Passover. Keeping that angel of death out of your life. Amen. He said, for this reason, some of you are sick and weak and dying prematurely because you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not making a distinguishing, making a knowledge of what he did for you. We need to hear more about what Jesus did for us at the cross. Because that's the central thing of this thing. And he took stripes upon his back so that I don't have to die prematurely. Amen. That I can live in health. Another subject altogether. But anyhow, we're surrounded with a bunch of witnesses that experienced God's word to their life. And again, what word are you standing on today for your whatever you're going through? Because we all are going through stuff at times. It could be financial, it could be marriage problems, it could be physical problems, family, all kinds of situations. But what promise? There's an exceeding great promise for you. Latch on to it. Hold on to it. Make it yours. Amen. How about, let me get a couple more verses here, not close. Hebrews 10:38. We were in Hebrews before. I'll go back to Hebrews chapter 10 now, verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. Again, some people use faith as a parachute out of a bad situation. The plane's going down. All of a sudden they want to hear about faith. No, we live by faith. We eat by faith. I pray over my food with my faith so that it's sanctified. Amen? You do that? The Bible says it's sanctified by thanks, our prayers and thanksgiving. I want to make sure the germs die that's in this food. Amen. I don't know who's back in that kitchen. We eat at a lot of restaurants. I don't know the people that are cooking the food, but I know if they're doing anything bad, it's good. Are you with me? Now, it doesn't work getting calories out. Can I hear an amen? I wish it did. Maybe that would take more faith. I don't know. But I know it's sanctified. It's separated and set apart for me when I pray over it with thanksgiving. Are you with me? How did I get off on that? Someone needed that, I guess. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Again, we live by faith. We don't draw back. We don't hear much preaching about backsliding, but a lot of people backslide. Don't be backsliding. Go forward. Paul said, I press towards that mark. I'm always pressing forward. If I stop, you know, that's why I study. That's why I pray. That's why I read my Bible. That's why I go to church, to keep myself going forward. It's the discipline of Christianity. I'm a disciple. I'm not just a believer. I act out what I believed. Are you with me? Amen. I'm preaching to the choir here today. I know that. That's okay. But see, I don't want to go back into perdition. And I look up that word perdition. It means there's something that smells rotten. I don't want to smell rotten before God. You know, the Bible talks about us as we leave an aroma. Amen. And when we live by faith, it pleases God. When I'm standing on the word, it offers a smell to heaven. How's that? I don't want to stink. I want to be living by faith. Amen. Because the just shall live by faith. And I'll say this, we don't live by miracles, we live by faith. I think people need to understand that. I don't know about you, but for most people, miracles, signs and wonders are for unbelievers in the Bible. Read it. Gifts are for unbelievers, pretty much. You and I, as believers, we need to live by faith. Amen. That means you got to stand at times. You got to, after having done all, you stand there for. We don't really like to hear messages like that. We want miracles, instantaneous. I mean, I haven't seen too many of them. I know I have in India and places around the world where they're just unbelievers. And we preach to them that God does miracles to get their attention. But Jesus said, it's better off if you didn't have to see something to believe. That's faith. And you may have to stand for a while. So don't give up. That was my message title today. Don't give up. Don't give in. Amen. How about one more verse here in John 15:7? John 15:7. Hallelujah. I thought the worship team was coming up here. I thought, where'd they get to? I'm not done yet, but hold on a second. John 15:7. If ye abide, this is the big word, if. If ye abide in me, that means to live. If ye live in me and my words abide or live in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So it's conditional. Again, getting back to the word, what kind of word do you have in you? And really be careful who you listen to. This morning we were usually at church earlier at our home church because we're still active in the church there. We were opening it up. It's a bad habit, I guess, we have. But we're there early. And so we had the TV on this morning watching some Christian programs in the area, in the Harrisburg area, that guys are on TV. And I remember this one guy, I thought, God bless him. He's preaching about, what was he preaching on this morning? Forget already.
Fear and faith.
But he kept saying, you got to have faith, you got to have faith. And not have the spirit of fear, and I agree with that. But I heard him one other time preaching about sickness and disease, and he said, you know, how are we supposed to die if we're not sick or diseased? I thought, why would you want to listen to somebody like that? You know, we don't have to go out sick and diseased. That's traditions. That's the mindset of most Christians. I'm going to go out and pick them up feet. In the Old Testament, they just picked up their feet and went on. Amen? I'm not going out with sickness and disease killing me. You can go however you want to go, you go. But that's the way I've made my choice. But I'm allowing that word to abide in me. One translation said, words that are steadfastly and continually abiding in you. Continually. Again, we're not into a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. Anybody here ever run a marathon?
Yes.
You do? Barb runs a little 5K every year at Thanksgiving. Our town has one. And I know people that have run marathons. So I have a couple of pastors and friends that do it. And they have to prepare for that. You just don't go out and run a marathon. You train for it so that you finish the course. How's that? The only thing I can relate to it somewhat is in basic training in the Army. I was in the Army back in 1970, and I was in the old Army where we wore combat boots. Now they wear sneakers at basic training. But they'd have what they called forced marches. Anybody here remember? Forced marches? You know, full pack, full gear. It's Fort Campbell, Kentucky. It's hot, it's humid, it's July. It doesn't matter to the Army. It's all mind over matter. You don't mind. They don't mind, and you don't matter. And so they put all this pressure on you. They make you crawl through underneath the machine guns firing over your head, things like that. Just all that pressure, so that when you're under the real pressure, when there's enemy firing, you don't go crazy, stand up, and try to run out of them and get killed. But we do these forced marches, and back in that day, they didn't have Gatorade. They had salt tablets. And they had these Lister bags, they call it, these big bags with water, full of salt water. And you had these forced marches, they stop, and then you could get a drink, fill up your canteen again. And it was horrible. Ever drink salt water? It's horrible. But you had it because you were so depleted from sweating in the forced march. And I remember this one time, we're out there, and I have a buddy named Don Jacoby. He lives over in Gettysburg. We spent basic training together. And we're marching, and I said, Don, I can't do it anymore. I'm quitting. He said, David, don't quit. Don't quit. See, we need friends like that in the body of Christ that say, don't quit. Don't give in to the pressure. Come on, you can make it. I'll help you.
That's right.
Amen. I'll carry your gear for you, whatever it could be. I'll stand in the gap for you. Well, I thank God that day I didn't quit, because we got back to the barracks and all the stragglers that came walking in late, they had them out for another 2 hours doing exercises. And one of our buddies named Gillespie from Kansas, Don and I were just standing in the barracks and we were just laughing to it, crying, because it was so funny to see these guys out there. We know they had to be hurting because they already dropped out in the march, and now they had them out there doing more stuff. They probably don't do that anymore now in the modern army. They say things have changed drastically. Now you probably could sue them or something, I don't know. But you don't quit. Amen? You don't quit. I'm not a quitter. You're not a quitter. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Be strong in the grace of Christ. There's enough grace to get you through. Barb, she's had to tap into it too, being, you know, she had to deal with what I was going through. And Donna, you know, it's tough when your mate's suffering and but you stand for them, with them. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm here today doing pretty good. Gain my weight back. Hallelujah. Now I got to be careful I don't get too heavy. And you know, it's this time of year where all these Easter eggs in all the restaurants, and they talk to you. Can I hear an amen? They do. You walk by them, they start talking to you. Hallelujah.